You're listening to NSearch Radio, the number one radio network covering news and politics, natural health, science and religion, mysteries and spirituality, and taking action against corruption. Please join our Christian social network at nsearch.com and our uncensored news and activism website at project.nsearch.com. Thank you and God bless.
Good evening, and great to have you along tonight on A Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your host, the sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen. Tonight we're going to talk about Tim Tebow, Bob Costas, Mark Rich, Billy Maudlin, the CEO of Motorsports Outreach for Ministries, will be with us this evening in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little bit about A 60-Second Look at Sports and some of the things going on in that ministry, and then Chaplain Greg Bearkay will be with us this evening. But right now, it's your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
Yeah, let's get back to the Tim Tebow thing, because I think that saga just continues to go on and on. And, of course, you just gave me something there, Steve, that you probably ought to add to this postscript. But once again, the saga goes on about Tim Tebow. On December 2nd, 2012, New York Giants flew to Arizona to play the Arizona Cardinals. And Mark Sanchez didn't have really a good outing. He's pulled in the third quarter, but he's replaced by third-string quarterback Greg McElroy, who then manages to march down the field for the only touchdown run of the game. So it's the Jets 7 and the Cardinals 6, with Tim helplessly standing along the sidelines with a broken rib suffered the week before in Seattle. Now, that's got to be frustrating for a guy that took the Denver Broncos to the playoffs last year. So many people forget that. I hope some of you believers would contact Tebow and let him know that we have his back on this thing. Boy, I think if 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Someone said, I hope that you have enough happiness to make you sweet, enough trials to make you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, and enough hope to keep you happy. And so I understand that you've got a little postscript to that, Steve, because you heard something on ESPN that adds another one of the remarkable stories associated with one Tim Tebow.
Well, you know, you hear a lot about him, and of course his ribs are in the news, and then his not getting playing time is in the news, and then is he going to be back with New York, or is he not going to be back with New York, or does it all depend on Andy Reid? All those questions are out there. And one of the things that we're watching right now that's trending, there was a Twitter hashtag, if you're familiar with Twitter. The hashtag was Tebow Call Matt. And somebody had started this to try and get Tim Tebow's attention to call a young man by the name of Matt Hardy, who had been in a car accident. He and two other young men were hit by a drunk driver. There were casualties in the accident. Tim Tebow picked this up, got word of it, picked up his phone, called this kid, talked to him for a while, said it took me 9 or 10 minutes to convince him that I was who I said I was. And they talked for a while, and then the quote that really sticks out to me, here's what Tebow said when asked about the phone call. He said, "Anytime something like that happens, it's humbling. You feel almost not worthy of being wanted to talk to somebody. You think of what have I done to deserve an opportunity to try and encourage a kid like that. It's worth everything, and it's awesome. It's better than any touchdown I'll ever score." So here's a guy with all the reason in the world to get frustrated and hang it up, and he's kept his eyes on what's really important.
Well, you know, this is Tim Tebow, and I guess that's why, you know, the football season this year hasn't been all that exciting for me, because I'm a close follower of Tim Tebow, and he hasn't got to play. And the thing out there in New York has really been a fiasco for him. I mean, he just hasn't got to play. Then he got those broken ribs, and Sanchez has been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and then Tim has some ribs problems and can't get in there and play, and some third-string quarterback gets in there and wins the football game. So I got to feel that Tim Tebow is feeling pretty frustrated right now. But, again, I think he's got to realize that God is sovereign and got his hands on him, and that he will exalt him in due time. But I think it would behoove all the Christian believers who love sports and see the the importance of Christian athletes being held up in prayer because they have such an influence over our culture, perhaps more than any one profession is the athlete. And so when he struggles, I think the testimony for Jesus Christ, at least right now in the United States, struggles. And so my heart goes out to him, and I'm not surprised by the way he handled that situation. That's the same Tim Tebow that we've been hearing about for the last couple of years, and my heart goes out to him. I'm really interested in talking with Billy Maupin. He'll be on in just a few moments. I knew Max Helton when they started Motor Racing Outreach, which was, again, a ministry to NASCAR inside the track to drivers and pit crews. I remember staying all night at Michigan International Speedway just to be with Max, as that was one of the first chapel services that he had, was up there in Michigan. And now this thing has blown into all kinds of ministries, from motorcycles to speedboats to, well, you name it, of course, NASCAR. And the Motorsports Outreach has been responsible for placing a lot of chaplains in those sports. And I guess this is the reason why I come on here and talk about men who are looking for a ministry. If you like, if you're into auto sports and you like motorsports, then there's a place for you possibly to have a ministry under the umbrella of Motorsports Outreach. And we'll be talking with Billy Maupin here in just a few moments about those possibilities. But I'm looking forward to him coming on.
I am too, Dwight. I think that'll be good. I don't want to interrupt you. We got a caller on. I'd just like to share with you that he's enjoyed the show. Let me put him through.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to compliment you on the show, and I've been trying to get the word out about you and Project Dot End Search, and for some reason today, when the advertisement got out on Facebook, they put an R instead of an N, so I was just letting everybody know if they're having a hard time getting on, it'll put you to the wrong site. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for the great show, and hopefully if anybody's having a hard time, they can let their friends know that you need an N, not an R.
Okay.
on the Facebook advertisement. Yeah.
There you go. Well, I tell you, we'll get around that some way, Steve, but I appreciate that information.
To air is human.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
No,
God bless.
Up. You bet.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Okay, again, we're just about ready to get Billy on here, right, Steve?
Yes, he should be with us in just a few minutes. In the meantime, just want everybody to know that we fixed the link there on the Facebook page. And if you want to share with your friends, you can always keep track of the Second Look at Sports at secondlookatsports.org, as well as you can track along with us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com and, of course, search for a Second Look at Sports. By the way, I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to call in and be part of the program, number is 858-683-1309. We'd love to have you call in while our guests are on this evening. If you have questions for them, feel free to call in and chat with them for a little bit, as well as call in and talk with Dr. Allen this evening as we move through the show.
Yeah, it's going to be good to talk to those. And, of course, we look forward to people calling in because one of the reasons I'm doing this show is because I want that contact with fans. And now if you're a NASCAR fan, I personally do a two-hour racing show on WFIN every week, so I'm up with the sport somewhat. I don't know everything about what's going on, but I have an idea what's going on in NASCAR and World of Outlaws and the All-Stars and all that goes on in ARCA and USAC. So if you've got some interest in auto racing, then give us a call at that number that Steve just gave you. And we have some people on now that can certainly talk to sports. Some of the most informed people that I know are guys that are ministering in that area. I mean, they're not only people that know the scriptures, but they are people who love the sport of auto racing. So if you can't get anybody that has a keener insight into NASCAR than Billy Maupin. He's just around it all the time, knows all the drivers, and knows what makes them tick. So I'm hoping we can connect here. I called him, and I certainly have the hopes that we can make this work tonight. I think our listeners will really enjoy talking with the CEO of Motorsports Outreach. Great guy.
We're looking forward to that, Dwight. Again, the call-in number 858-683-1309. We're going to step away early this evening, take a quick commercial break, and then we hope to be back with Billy Modlin, the CEO of Motorsports for Outreach NASCAR.
You are listening to M-Search Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at msearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@msearch.com. That's GLENN at N as in Nancy, SEARCH.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at msearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting M-Search Radio in our efforts, reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
Good evening and welcome to a second look at Sports Talk Live. You're back on the air with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen. We spent a little time talking about Tim Tebow tonight. We're going to get into NASCAR a little bit later. But right now, Dr. Allen wants to take us to the world of college football. Dr. Allen?
Yeah, I think it was one of the things that was notable was what happened to Coach Mark Richt of the Georgia Bulldogs. I personally have interviewed Coach, and I know number one, he's a born again believer. Number two, I know how much pride he has in building that football program at Georgia, and then to see really what I have seen over the last decade as I've been in and out of professional locker rooms, to see is in so many cases how some of those reporters are really they really get after with what they call gotcha questions, and that was personified when a reporter got up in front of Coach Rick and said, you know, in the last 10, 12 ball games that you played, you've lost all but one of them. Is there any explanation why you played so poorly? Now, you know, if I was in his position, I would have kind of gotten a little upset. I've lost a tough football game, and now I'm supposed to ask that question that probably if I answer it, will cause a negative effect on my football team, or is it going to cause a negative effect upon Georgia University or upon Coach himself, who is notably one of the best college football coaches in the country. And so my heart goes out to him. I really think that that's kind of the thing that's happening all across locker rooms, is that there's so many of the press go in there and got these gotcha questions, hoping that they can cause that personality to inflame a little bit and maybe say things he doesn't want to say, and then he goes back to his editor or whatever and said, well, yeah, I really got a rise out of Coach, man. I asked him about that question, all right, and he listen to this, and then they'll play it verbatim, and that helps sell magazines and newspapers and it'll help sell radio time. So I really felt sorry for him. I've always learned this, and I take it from the pattern of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. If you go through Jesus Christ as he goes through his counseling of the seven churches in Revelation, one of the things that he was careful to do in his dealings with people was he would always start with a commendation before he said a condemnation. And you can see that pattern just go right through those seven churches. And I have found that if you will, if there's somebody I want to interview, and I don't know him very well, the way to really approach that is to find out something in his past whereby he has been experienced success of some kind, and then you just open him up like you're peeling a banana. They'll come to you, they'll give you a great interview, they realize that they can trust you, that you're not going to give them a series of gotcha questions. You know, I go back to Carlton for the Philadelphia Phillies, who said, I'm not going to talk with the press anymore because all they do is give you these gotcha questions. And so he started the whole trend among a lot of athletes that you just don't talk to the press because they know what these guys are after. And so if they can get a little bit of sensational out of you after asking you a tough question, and then they put it on the air or they put it in print, that you know, that's what they can make a lot of money doing. They are interested in money, and they're not interested in developing a relationship with these athletes. They just want an answer that's going to help them make money. And so I have lost a lot of excuse me.
They just have to feed that 24-hour news cycle. There's always pressure to put something out there, and the more sensational it is, the better it is, it seems, and it's the better it is, it just means they're tearing somebody down.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, though. When you go into those dugouts or whatever it is in the locker room, that you'll find a lot of guys they'll just disappear. I've seen it happen. You walk into the locker room, and zoom, there they go into the strength room, the weight room, where you can't touch them. That's off limits to anybody in the press, and that's where they run if they see certain newscasters and certain sports people come into that room. They have ways of getting rid of you. And I guess I always go back to that adage of doing to others as you would have them do unto you. I wouldn't want to be treated like that if I was a coach, and I think what they did to Coach Reich was a mistake. I thought it was unfortunate. That's what we're seeing a lot in sports today, and even Christian athletes have to have their guard up. I know I've seen them go after Tebow, and he's got a great attitude and knows how to handle it, but a lot of guys don't and don't handle the press well, and it eventually affects their play on the field.
It's unfortunate that it's come to be that way between the athletes and the press, because those same athletes and those same coaches are doing a lot of great things. There's a story out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The day after that SEC loss and the day after as a coach, he took a big hit. The next day, he's at the home of what's the young man's name? Josh Cardellio, who's committed to play for the Bulldogs next year. He's a high school offensive lineman, 6'3", 280 pounds. The next day, the coaches in this kid's house just confirming his commitment to Georgia, and the kid's quoted as saying, you know, it was crazy. Here he was the next day after a huge game like that. For the coach to come to my house after that, it really meant a lot. And those are the stories we don't hear as much. We don't hear about that same coach getting up off the mat. And he's not sitting at home the next day sulking about his loss. He's not sitting at home frustrated by what's going on. He's back out there building the team for next year. And I think maybe a little more of that and some of those stories would go a long way.
Well, there's one thing we can learn about football and the Christian life. We've talked about this before. I have a short memory. If you mess up and you get away from the Lord and you get out of fellowship, or you wander, or you start getting back into the world, you know, it's just a matter of fact to put 1 John 1:9 on that, confess it, because God will forgive you, and you can take off again. We've got to forget the mistakes we make and the places that we have exhibited bad judgment. We're all human. We've got a fallen nature, and we're bound to make some of those mistakes. I think the key thing is just like Coach did. You know, he was pressured with that interviewer, but he just got right back up, and he's out there recruiting, and that's the secret to a good football team. And like I say, I've interviewed Coach. I think he's a great guy. I think. You know, he was put on the spot. He didn't like it. He let that guy know about it.
Well, you know, they take a lot of heat. Buffalo Bills took it back in the 90s for losing the big games, and nobody seems to remember that they also made it there. He's been to the SEC championship game 2 years in a row now, and that's no easy feat. And, you know, sometimes I think maybe we forget what it takes to get to those games. You know, we like to point out, well, this guy didn't win. He's been there twice, or this guy didn't win. I think about John Elway. He had a couple of Super Bowls under his belt. You know, he couldn't win the big one until he did. And I think maybe we need to cut him a little slack. And, you know, there's 22 guys on that field throughout the night on offense and defense, and they all have to do their part. And that was a great game. That Alabama-Georgia game was a great game. Everybody played their hearts out. And I understand the coach's frustration. But like you, glad to see him get back up off the mat, come back out, and say, hey, listen, my guys played their tails off tonight. I'm proud of them. And that probably meant a lot to his team.
You know, there was no addies that I had when I was pastoring, and I would be out visiting. And this addies was whatever goes on in that conversation, leave it in such a way that you can go back. Don't let the conversation get to the point where you feel like, oh, boy, I have really burned a bridge there because I said something or did something or got into an area of conversation that really wasn't adding to the ministry. And I think this is the same way with athletes is, you know, you just our coaches, sometimes you just have to forget what's happened. And go on, and I think that is so important. If you're going to survive in this high pressure world where somebody's watching you all the time and making you accountable for everything that you do, then I thank God for the grace of God in 1 John 1:9 and being able to know what the grace of God is all about, what forgiveness is all about, and get back on the horse and start riding it again. And this is one thing you know that coaches and players. Have learned, and like I say now, Carl was the first, but there's a lot of guys that want to give an interview to somebody because he remembers what you did 5 years ago and the question you asked him, and so you just burned that bridge. If you ever want to talk to him again, he's not going to give it to you because he remembers what you did to put him on the spot, and so it's really short-sighted of any sports writer to go up there and ask a question and hurt the relationship because that's going to hurt the kind of reporting you're going to have in the future. So I think it's asinine to put these guys on the spot when they hold all the, you know, all the tools. I mean, they can interview with you in the future, or they can just go into that weight room, and there's nothing you can do about it, Steve. It's just over.
You know, I think sometimes that's the world we live in. It's short-sighted in the moment. Make my splash now, get my 15 minutes of fame. And you don't see a lot of the guys who are around day in and day out anymore over a long period of time who just do it and do it well. While I've got a minute, I want to remind our listeners, if you want to be part of the program tonight, phone number is 858-683-1309 to be on a second look at Sports Talk Live. Talk with Dr. Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the air. You can follow Dwight's ministries, A Second Look at Sports, at asecondlookatsports.org. You can also find him on Facebook at A Second Look at Sports. We invite you to call in, be part of the program tonight. Right now, we're taking a little peek behind the curtain. Dr. Allen sharing with us a little bit about what it's like to be in the press room, talk with the athletes, the recent struggles that some of our coaches and friends in the NFL and in college sports have had dealing with the press. Dwight, it reminds me of a story you've told a number of times in churches. And I always think about this when I hear you talk about being in the locker room, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I hope you remember it as well, but it was an athlete, and I cannot for the life of me remember who it was, except for I think he played for the Detroit Lions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was talking to some other people, and you waited, and he asked what you were waiting on. You said, well, you know, I'm Christian radio show, and I don't want to put you on the spot in front of all these people. And he said, no, you go right ahead, you go first, and all the other guys left. And I remember you said that the athlete made this comment, I think it was the athlete, that said, you turn on the light and all the rats run away. And that's always stuck with me, that there are some athletes out there who want to talk about this and they want to share the faith.
I believe that was Hanson. I think that's the kicker for it. Yeah, I think it was. But he's a great guy, and he is a Christian. And those that are Christians, and if they sense that you are a Christian guy, well, I've seen it happen time and time again. They'll just say, wait a minute, I'm going to talk to this guy first, because they have the power of choice. And sometimes, I've gotten dirty looks from people that have been around sports a long time and then have to go to the back of the line for a guy they don't know. And so it's kind of an interesting, intriguing situation that develops in a lot of those locker rooms when one believer sees another believer, there's just an instant bond there, as we all know, and the world doesn't understand that. But, yeah, that was Jason Hanson, I think, once again, who has been around Detroit for so long. He's a great kicker and a fine Christian. I fully expect him to do something for the Lord after he gets out of the NFL, because he's a well-versed Christian and has a passion to serve the Lord. Yeah, that's a great story. That's a great story. Jason Hanson is his name.
You know, that's one of my favorites, and we want to remind pastors and folks like that who are out there listening. One of the things that Dr. Allen would love to do is come sit in your church, share with your people, challenge the men and the women and the kids and the teens alike about what they can do to share the cause of Christ. Before we go to just a quick break, let me remind you, the call-in number is 858-683-1309. We'd love to have you on tonight with Dr. Allen on A Second Look at Sports Live. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
And greetings, everybody. This is Dwight Allen, host of a new and unique 3-hour sports program called A Second Look at Sports, each Wednesday from 9 till midnight. It will feature a special 30-minute segment with an interview with some of the biggest names in sports, with 60-second mini-interviews introducing the various segments throughout the program. We're desiring to have listener call-ins during the program where you can get involved with Dwight and Steve Inman in a lively and fun discussion as to what God is doing in the world of sports. You can simply phone 1-858-863-1309. That's 1-858-863-1309. Or go to InSearch, then click Radio InSearch to get through to us. I'm looking forward to talking sports with you from God's point of view as we connect the scriptures with the sports. So join us this Wednesday from 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time for A Second Look at Sports. And greetings, everybody. This is Dwight Allen, host of
Welcome back to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live. We're glad to have you along this evening. If you want to be part of the program, the call-in number is 858-683-1309. We've been talking about the press this evening and their work with athletes. Let's go to what's been one of the biggest stories this week. Bob Costas, in the halftime show of the weekend football there, made this comment. If Jovan Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today. Now, Dr. Allen, I know you've got some thoughts on this. I'm going to pass it your way.
Well, I'll tell you what now. I'm not a gun lover. I don't have a gun. I never have had a gun. Well, I guess I did. Back in high school, I had one. But I'm not a gun guy. I mean, I I just have never acquired the taste for it. But I think it was Bob Costas who was being influenced by his superiors to take a Sunday night football game and politicize it, start talking about anti-guns. I just don't look at this thing with Yvonne Belcher the same way. Yeah, he did. He had a gun, and he did some terrible things with it. But I don't think guns are the problem. I think people are. And after reading everything about Belcher that I could read, I never got an inkling that he ever talked about God. I don't think God was a part of his life. If so, he didn't talk about it to the point where it got in the press. And so here's a guy that has a problem now with his wife, and the problems start to mount up, and boy, I tell you what, he didn't have any answers, and literally everything went bang. Now,
well,
you could take guns.
Go right ahead, Dwight.
You can take guns away from good people, but again, so many people have said this, you can't take guns away from bad people. And the thing that bothers me the most is Belcher's suicide and what kind of message that sends to our teenagers today. The National Institute of Mental Health reports that 1 out of 5 teenagers have thought about suicide, 1 in 6 plans to commit suicide, 1 in 12 have attempted suicide. Now, the real question is, people who are in a severe state of depression will find a way to end it all, regardless if they have a gun or not. I mean, we go back to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord, and he found a way. He just went and hung himself. So people who have no answer to their problems will find a way to end it, as Judas did, as sad as that is. The country has always stood for the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is there. And so to take away guns from good people, we have so many goofballs on the left and the right who want to enforce their belief on others with the force of a gun. The people who want to take guns out of your possession, I think it's in that same crowd that want to take prayer out of schools and want to take Christ out of Christmas, and they're bed partners with the people who would want to take Christian principles entirely away from the main market of thought. So I think the Christians are in a battle today. I think we're going to have to stand up and be a little more aggressive about what we believe. I think the world will run right over us in these concepts if they can. We have a world where people have a fallen nature, which in essence is saying they have a desire to be independent from the God of the Bible. You take God out of the equation, and life seems to be a beautiful thing. And there's nothing beautiful about what Belcher did. A guy who had everything, money, fame, and a bright future. But without a loving and a sovereign God, the question is, where is the hope? And you take God out of the equation, and suddenly there is no hope. So that's I said, oh boy, he didn't need to say that. I don't think that was the time or the place to bring that up.
Well, and I don't think anybody necessarily disagrees that he can have his opinion, and I think we're all okay with that. But to bring it up in that atmosphere and at that place and take the focus off where there was a great opportunity to teach, the guy made a tremendous mistake and then took his own life. And let's focus on the victim. Let's focus on the children and the lady that was there, the woman who was murdered there. Let's focus on her family and the loss there. Let's focus on the tragedy of his suicide. Let's focus on the things that Kansas City was doing to try and help the couple beforehand. There were all those things that could have been focused on, that we could have drawn attention to, and we didn't. And I think that was a missed opportunity. I think talking about the tragedy that is suicide, I think talking about the hopelessness that many of these athletes feel, I think talking about all of those things would have been a much more profitable conversation than taking another shot at gun owners. And I'm right there with you, Dwight.
Well, this is why tonight we had scheduled Billy Mobbin. I don't know if we're going to connect with him or what's happened, but I just like the calling that God has laid on so many people's lives to go and be a chaplain for some professional athletic team. And, I just wonder, I would love to know who that chaplain is for Kansas City. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I never saw him get involved in any of this. So that just kind of tells me that guy never went to chapel. And when his problems really started to mount, He didn't have any place to go for counsel. He didn't have anybody he trusted, and it ended up in disaster. And I just want to lay it upon the hearts of men that love sports to see that is your passion, to make that your ministry, because just by what happened here today. Here's a guy that was a very talented football player. I think he was second in tackles, came from Maine, proved himself to be a football player after getting to the NFL against all odds. This guy had a lot of good things to him, but he evidently didn't want to talk about God or try to bring God into his life to help solve his problems, and he was pretty much living his life out of his own strength and wasn't and hadn't discovered the strength that comes in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And my heart goes out to him because there they are. They have two caskets and a young child that's going to be brought up by their grandmother. And I love grandmothers, but grandmothers can't replace mom and dad. And so that's just a sad situation all the way around. I don't think the issue is guns. I think the issue is, why are we having the rising rate of suicide, not only among young people, but young adults like Belcher? It really bothers me to see this trend in the United States.
I think sometimes we forget. We watch these guys play on Saturdays and Sundays. We watch the NBA during the week, the football games on Thursday nights. I don't know about you, Dwight. Sometimes I forget how young these guys are. The guys you're watching on Saturdays, 18, 19, 20, maybe 21, some of these guys on Sundays, 22, 23 years old, and all of the temptation and everything that's thrown at their feet, and all those things build up. And if they don't have many of them, they come from rough backgrounds. They come from, there's not a stable home. There's not those mentors in their life. They've kind of passed from coach to coach to coach. Then they get to the NFL and there's not that same sort of college coach mentality where they're overseeing you and, you know, you're treated like an adult. You're expected to do certain things. And, I think sometimes we forget how young they are. A lot of these guys out there aren't more than 8, 9 years older than my own son, and I can't imagine those kind of pressures being placed there and then not having the hope and the guidance and the structure of a chaplain, a pastor, a friend, a Christian friend that guides the Bible, and the things that we can do rather than just applaud these guys and stand back in awe of them. If we can find a way to reach out to them, you have through a Second Look at Sports, the ministry here, to reach out to them and encourage them. I think we have an obligation as Christian brothers and sisters to do that.
Yeah, I believe that's true, too. And here again, I think the culture here in the United States, not only in the United States, all across the world, is suffering because we have kicked God out of the marketplace. We don't talk about him. We can't pray in school anymore. We don't want the Bible read. We don't like to want to see a nativity scene on the public square, and we're just turning our backs upon God, not just with a kind of a neutrality, but with a vengeance and anger. And this is what happens, I think. I think that God says, all right, do it your way then and see what happens. And then we wake up and we see this kind of tragedy with Belcher, and I think it's a result not only of he didn't turn to God while he was with the Kansas City, but what was his background like? Did he ever go to church? Did he ever have an inquisitive nature about the things of God? And boy, if you don't, then where's the foundation going to come? Where's the hope going to come? Because we believe the hope comes through God, who can handle situations like that, and we learn to operate through his strength, not our strength. And boy, when you don't take that route, then the trouble's waiting around the bend. And so we have a terrible incident. I think that that's a combination of all the things we've talked about here tonight.
I think you're absolutely right, Dwight. In all fairness, there's a quote that's come out today. Bob Casas was on the Dan Patrick Show this evening, and he was asked to clarify it. And he said, I'm certainly not against repealing the Second Amendment. I shouldn't have tried to tackle. I hadn't seen this until just now. I shouldn't have tried to tackle everything in a 90-second segment. Here's his quote. He said, if I had to do it again, I think what I would have said was, if you're looking for perspective on this, if we're truly looking for perspective on this and not merely saying, Well, this is so sad. For a few minutes, it took my attention away from the Seahawks-Bears game that a discussion should ensue within sports about the football culture, the gun culture, domestic violence, those issues with which we don't have time to address in this limited space here. They should be discussed if we're looking for some kind of elusive perspective after an event like this. And, you know, to Bob Costas' credit, if that's what he would have said, if he would have said, listen, this is a time we can discuss this, because there is. We saw it a couple of years ago with the Washington Wizards. You know, the guys carrying guns and then getting suspended. It wasn't, what, 3 or 4 years ago, the wide receiver for the New York Jets or the New York Giants shot himself in the leg in a nightclub. There is a gun culture within the sports culture that is troublesome at times. And I think that's a fair statement that, you know, this is an opportunity for us, rather than just go, wow, that's so sad, and move on. Step back and talk about, what are we teaching these young men? What are we preparing them for? You know, do they understand how to handle the pressures and the stresses that go along with this? And I think if Bob Costas would have said that, he'd have gotten a much different reaction than what he said, which was basically to come out and say, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not good. Don't do that. I would have encouraged him, I guess, to say that, what he clarified it as today.
Well, I just think it's a time for Americans to take a look and ask themselves, are we going down the right road? We have atheists now that have more influence, and they're a minority than 40% of the voting bloc in evangelical Christians. So we don't have any say, but somebody can come in there that's an atheist and command change. It's just mind-boggling for me, and I just think that we as Christians, as long as God's got us here on the earth, are going to have to be a little bit more of a fighter, a little bit more aggressive, and keep a sweet attitude, but don't back down from the challenge, because I think it's going to mount, I think it's going to grow, and I think there is an attack on Christianity, and I think we need to realize that it's going to be a little harder maybe to live the Christian life in a culture that's declining, because we've never been that way before. We've never been in a country where we had any doubt about the greatness of America. And now I think there's some serious questions about, are we the people we used to be? And are we the people of compassion and love that we used to be? And, you know, I just think a lot of things change when you take God out of the equation and kind of throw it up in the air and say, you know, we're just, when it comes to a religion, we're going to be eclectic. So we're going to take a little here, a little there, and everybody's got an idea, and that's fine, and then we don't settle on a solution, and we don't settle on a path, and we don't settle on some kind of way of answering all the questions that's being posed in sports today. But I think this talks about the culture as a whole, and I just think we need to address it. I mean, boy, things are getting kind of desperate when you combine that with what's going on in the U.S., and then you look at all the hostility that's going on in Israel, and you see what's going on in China, and what they're doing in building an army, and you see what's going on with Iran. I mean, everything directs us to the Word of God and makes the Bible, to me, come alive, because the Bible is teaching that we need to be ready for all of this. So, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for what's happening, but I don't like the fact that it affects people in the way that it affected Belcher.
Well, and I think sometimes that we confuse, as Christians, we confuse compassion with weakness, and we confuse, you know, grace with being passive. And so we're ending up a group of Christians standing on the sidelines talking about how terrible things are and how awful they are, instead of getting engaged in it. We want to stand and curse the darkness. We want to stand and talk about how bad it is. We want to stand and complain about it, instead of stepping in and saying, you know what, I'll do something, whether it's I'll go vote, or I'll be part of this, or I'll be part of that. Getting active, and rather than just accepting that, yeah, it's going to get worse, get involved and make our opinions, so to speak, known, and share with the world what it is we truly represent. When you talk to the average person on the street today and you say, I'm a Christian, they have very little idea what it means. It's this hodgepodge of understanding. And I think if we would take a stand where we need to take a stand and say, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and this is what we're really about, the grace, the compassion that we have to offer, I think would amaze a world that is hurting and looking for help. And then if we would go, much like Christ, that he always went to where the sinners were, he went to where the struggle was, he went to where the hurt was. And one of the things you've done with a second look at sports is, you know, listen, the culture's there. The culture's already at sports. Now, let's take Christianity, let's take the ministry, let's take the Bible, and let's go there and meet them. And I think we really, really could encourage more each other and other Christians to do that. By the way, if you're listening in this evening, you're listening to a Second Look at Sports Talk Live on InSearch Radio. We are glad to have you along this evening. I'm Steve, and you're listening to your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen. If you want to be part of the show tonight, the number is 858-683-1309. If you want to learn more about Dr. Allen and his ministry, A Second Look at Sports, you can find him online at asecondlookatsports.org or find him on Facebook at A Second Look at Sports. Again, if you want to be part of the show this evening, before I pass it back to Dr. Dwight Allen, here's the number, 858-683-1309. Back to you, Dr. Allen.
Well, again, I just want to thank RadioInSearch.com because it has allowed us to have a unrestrained voice about how we feel about what's going on in the world of sports today. And I too, am a little tired of, I pastored for 30 years and the mindset of so many Christians is let's just kind of minister to our own church and the pastors, you visit, the people in your church when they go to the hospital and there's a lot of inward ministry, but I think there's a lack of outward ministry. And that's why the world is going in the direction right now. It's because of a church that has lost its desire to get out and minister and to go one-on-one with people. And I would encourage churches. I know it's so easy to play church. It just goes Sunday to Sunday, and you got your little comfort zone, and you stay in a week in, a week out. But things are happening in the world today that I think would compel us to get out where people are and be more active on one-on-one ministry. And again, I think this is what we're doing here by getting on RadioInSearch.com. I think there's some people out there listening tonight that probably won't ever go to church, but do like sports. And now we're approaching them from an entirely different angle. And it can't help but be a thing of curiosity to some people about, well, I've never heard the sports talk the way those guys are talking about it. And we're, at the same time, being able to talk about truth that's going to last for an eternity. So hats off to this Internet that has allowed us to come on here and share some of the burdens and share some of the vision we have for sports and how we think it can be a spectrum for sharing the grace of God. And so we're trying to take advantage of this and would need to like to hear from some people that help us with our vision. We certainly need to finances, and I don't want to make this a big issue because I'm not, but the need is always there. I just got back from a 1,000-mile trip to all through the South and got 7 or 8 interviews and ended up with Morgan Shepherd and the great NASCAR driver and been around a long time, veterans. I think he started 891 consecutive starts with NASCAR, but in order to take these jobs and to get these programs that we put on the radio, it takes money, and I tell you, I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit maybe to put this on the hearts of some people to help us because we've been doing it for over 15 years, but we've done it on our own and a few people. And if some other people would help us, we could do more. I think our burden is right. I think our vision is right. I think our convictions are right, but we just need some help. And the people out there can help us. Just go to secondlookatsports.org and go to the PayPal method, or you can just mail me at Dwight Allen, Second Look at Sports, Box 7. That's the perfect number, Box 7, Findlay, F-I-N-D-L-E-Y, Ohio, 45839, and just send whatever you can. I'll tell you, $5 is a lot of money to me. And so I just, once again, want to share my heart with people who are out there that think we got a unique idea going here, Steve, but, you know, it takes money, and I don't want to mention it a whole lot, but it is the Christmas season, and you know, people do think about end-of-the-year giving. And we just hope that maybe they would consider a Second Look at Sports because what we do is, I think, effective. But, again, it takes the financial support from a lot of people. We hope that it happens and pray that God will lay that on somebody's heart tonight.
You're listening to Dr. Dwight Allen, A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network. Dr. Allen's also the host of A Second Look at Sports, Racing World and WFIN in Findlay, Ohio, and A 60-Second Look at Sports. We'll be right back at the top of the hour to talk about 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 and the impact it has on Dr. Allen and the ministry of A Second Look at Sports and what it could do for you and your view of sports. We'll be right back.
You are listening to InSearch Radio. dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at timsearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DiSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again and will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month. Please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through nsearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at nsearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting nsearch radio and our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
1 Corinthians 9:24-27 teaches the Christian life is much like a race without being disqualified. I remember running the hurdles for the first time in junior high school. I saw the white lines marking the lane in which I was to run. And I also saw my opponent. He was big, and his legs came up to my shoulders. Bang! I was keeping up with him, and then I landed on the wrong foot. I panicked. So rather than run over the next hurdle, I ran around it, thus failing to stay in my lane. And then I heard another loud bang from the starter that I had been disqualified. I pray that many of you listening will not let the fear of this day cause you to jump out of your lane and lose the joy of ministering for Christ during this day. Because disqualification is horrifying, believe me.
You're with us on the Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen. And now, Dr. Dwight Allen.
Well, that's a very often quoted verse when you get into the inner circles of sports. I think everybody understands that the Christian life is much like a race. The one thing I think that that we're going to have to get used to is that we're going to have more opposition. We're going to have more people that don't want to hear about God, and it's going to come out in all ways. Even in Christmas now, you'll want the nativity scene, you know, shown at the public square. You know, I don't know, you know, it seems kind of ironic to me that Jesus Christ, who paved the way for this holiday season now, is being shut out of the out of consideration. We're trying to put him in the background. He, when he's the one that made this this season so great, and we're going to have this coming. I think we're going to have people that are going to be more critical. And if you're a Christian, I think you better be ready for more of a negative response. I think it's going to be tougher. And I think we need to encourage one another that living the Christian life is a competitive thing. The Bible talks about our enemies being the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I think that all three of those love to converge on us and cause us to be intimidated, cause us to lose our compassion and our grace and our vision, that Jesus Christ needs to be presented in a culture today more than ever. And that we should see the competitive thing of it. That's not going to come easy. And so I love that verse. Know ye not that they run in a race. Everybody runs. But the one receiveth the prize. I mean, everybody wants to win, even our enemies. Even the people who are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-gospel, they want to win too. And so know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run with the attitude that you're going to win. And confidence is a big thing in sports. And if we lose that confidence in Jesus Christ, then we've lost everything. If we lose the passion to share the story and to share the message, then we've lost everything. So I think that verse is a reason why I did a 60 on it, Steve. I think it is at the core of the ministry of the Christian church and Christian people everywhere as we enter into these days that, in my own mind, are closing in on the days that really set up Armageddon. And I think that we need to be ready for that, and it's going to be different, and we're not going to be looked upon with a great favor, and as long as we're here, we're going to have to learn to stand and not be ashamed of who we are and take any kind of persecution that comes. And once again, we're the only nation, Christians, in a nation that really hasn't been persecuted. You look at Christians in Africa and China tonight. And they're all know what persecution is. But in America, we haven't. And consequently, I think we've gotten a little soft, and we've lost our aggressiveness and compassion and the desire to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I think that's a central verse, not only for athletes, but I think it has a real application, Steve, to our own lives as we approach these days, once again, that I think set up Armageddon. So we need to be ready.
I think the reminder that there's a constant challenge for us, and that we constantly need to be aware. And it is a challenge, and just like a race, it's never easy. There's always a moment where you need to buckle down. And you mentioned as we get towards the end of it, that's where you've got to make that final push, and that's where you've got to say, you know what, this really is what I believe, and I'm going to give it everything I have to finish this. And I think that's probably as Christians where we are. We're at the point where we just need to say this is what we believe in and this is who we are, and then have the courage to stand by those things.
Well, we were going to talk racing tonight with cars going around in a circle, and I'm sure that there's been a miscue with Billy Modlin. But I am looking forward to talking with someone who's still in that arena of ministry, and we're hoping that Greg Burke will call up. What Greg does is he goes to all the major racetracks of NASCAR and ministers. He goes into those parks and he has a NASCAR himself that the McDonald Racing Team has built, and he'll go in there and he'll roll that car around the campgrounds and get a response from race fans, and then he uses that as an opportunity to witness for the Lord. So I think it's a tremendous ministry. And I hope to get Billy on at some later date. But the one we hope we'll call now, maybe this is going to be our night where we just really have a lot of things that cause us to struggle But we hope he calls, because I think he has a certain vision of this ministry that we need to hear tonight. So I hope he calls.
I'm looking forward to hearing from him, Dwight, and just hearing about the different aspects of his ministry and how he uses that to impact people. I think it's another one of those areas that we overlook. We don't sometimes think about all of the opportunities and all the challenges that are out there and the ways that people are finding to really have an impact on the world around them. And it isn't as hard as sometimes we make it out to be. Sometimes it's as simple as look at what talents you have, look at the world around you, see how those two things match up, take what you can do to the world that you know, and find a place to share Christ right there. And it's always great to talk to the individuals who are doing that. And the chaplain, Burke, is just another example of that.
Well, I know that he has received a high commendation from Billy Maudlin and his people. I know that this guy was a missionary in Canada and then got this vision about the 70 million. Now, that's a lot of people. 70 million NASCAR fans. And the Lord spoke to him about ministering these people and sharing the gospel and getting into these parks. I had a chance to talk to him when I took my tour through the South getting interviews, and I was really impressed with this guy's compassion, his clarity of thought, his clarity of purity, and his clarity of wanting to do something for God in this area. I really think God has called him into this, and I think you'll see his sincerity and compassion as we talk to him in just a few moments. But I am so thankful. We all know how popular NASCAR is. As I said, I do a two-hour racing show every Saturday morning. I'm quite aware of the NASCAR fans, the sprint car fans, and there's so many niches of racing with the World of Outlaws and All Stars and late models and modifieds and midgets and sprints with a wing, sprints without a wing, and all of this in the wide world of racing, and that there are people that God is just putting a hand on and said, you go and minister to these people. You have a love for this sport. You have a love for motorsports. Now I'm going to use you in a personal ministry. So I'm giving you the green light. I'm giving you the passion. I'm giving you the vision to go out there and be involved in a ministry. Steve, after pastoring for 30 years and traveling around the country, I'm so burdened that too many people are sitting today who go to church and call that their ministry, but don't do anything outside the church to reach their communities for Christ. I hope that with the right spirit and with the grace of God working in our hearts, that we can challenge people to get outside the church and get some things done for the Lord before he comes for us. And I hope that we can touch some lives as we come back with this chaplain here in just a few seconds.
Well, you mentioned encouraging people to step outside the church and get active, Dwight. And I think we may make it too hard sometimes. You go to the Christian bookstore and there's 100 books about, you know, how to have a ministry and how to do this and how to do that. And I think sometimes we're so paralyzed by the fact that we think it needs to be a huge ministry, or we're so paralyzed by a fear that we'll fail, or we're so paralyzed about what someone else will think. And when you look at the ministry that Christ had, and when you look at the ministry of the apostles, and when you look at the ministry of those who have gone before us, those weren't the concerns. They weren't concerned about failing. They weren't concerned about what other people would think. They weren't concerned that everything was perfect. They were concerned that their actions got the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needed to hear it. And I guess my challenge for folks today, and Dwight, I haven't seen as much of it as you have, but I've seen the same thing. You know, we talk about the 10% rule. There's 10% of the church is doing 90% of the work. And I would challenge people, you know, that idea that you have in your head, that little thing that keeps popping up, and you keep going, man, maybe I could do that. Maybe there's an opportunity there. Maybe I could share Christ with that. That idea is not coming from Satan. That's the Holy Spirit working, and that's the Holy Spirit saying, listen, move, get about it, do something for me. And I think sometimes we wait too long, and we want all the answers, and we want to know what it's going to look like from point A to point B. And, you know, I was around in the early days of this ministry and talking to you, and I remember you didn't always know how point A was going to connect to point B. And it's that step of faith. And I think as Christians, we need to look at the world around us and say, you know, maybe the greatest example of faith that we can be is that we have the faith to step out and share Jesus Christ. Things don't always go like you plan. and things don't always go like you want them to. But in that, we have to trust that God's positioning us, much like a lot of the athletes that we've talked about this evening, God's positioning us to be better ministers and better servants of His.
Well, I think that we just need to realize the resources God has given us. First of all, when we were born, we got a talent. Now, that means the ability to play a horn or to play sports. That's a talent. That's something inherent in that DNA at the time you were born, that you just have a special ability to do something along that line in music or sports. And then when we come to know Christ, then God says He bestows a spiritual gift upon our lives. That's evangelism or teaching or exhortation or mercy or giving. On and on it goes in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. So we get a spiritual gift, and I think we're going to be held responsible for the spiritual gifts that God gave us at the time of salvation that we never took time to develop. And when we appear at the beam of the seat of Christ, there will be that come to our attention, and there's going to be a lot of sorrow and a lot of loss of reward because we didn't develop the spiritual gift that God gave us. And then the third thing that I've seen that is right there, that is so important, is that God gives you certain passions to do something. I have no idea why I have a passion for sports. I don't think I put it there. I think God put it there. And so the course of time, I've scouted for the Cubs and used that as a way to minister for the Lord. I've been on radio now for 25 years in the area of sports. I think God knew that when I was born. He put a certain passion in my soul to connect the dots between Scripture and sports. So as people listen to this, you know, the resources God has given you in your talents, in your spiritual gifts, and in your passion, someday we're going to be held responsible. We're going to be accountable. And so I just encourage Christians, get into action. Get into action. Help them. Go to your pastor and say, what can I do? Or if you've got an idea what you can do, then go with that idea, because most pastors will go with it. But, you know, we're to occupy the time until He comes. And that means buy out the opportunity. And certainly, Steve, there's opportunities out there. I'm burdened with it. I'm concerned about it. Or I wouldn't be taking, I have enough on my plate right now. I really don't have time to do 3 hours of more responsibility here on this radio program with this InSearch internet thing. I want to do it because I see there's a need. But I tell you, I'm very, very busy. But the burden I have for America and where it is now, that we call the church into action via those talents and those spiritual gifts and those passions. Let's get it on, church. Let's get it going. And let's be faithful until we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think we got a break here, don't we?
We got a break, and if you're listening along, you're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live. That's your host, Dr. Dwight Allen. We're glad to have you along tonight. When we come back from the break, if you'd like to call in, be part of the program, the number is 858-683-1309. Stay along. We'll be right back.
You are listening to M-Search Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at msearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
You Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's GLENN at N as in Nancy, SEARCH.com, or contact him through MSearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at MSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting MSearch Radio in our efforts, reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
You're back at A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network. We're glad to have you along this evening. You're with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen, the sports chaplain of the air, and along with him is a special guest. I'll let Dr. Allen introduce him. Dr. Allen.
Yeah, I mentioned about taking tours, and I took one last week. Was gone about a week and got about 7 or 8 interviews, and one of the interviews was with Greg Berkey. He is a chaplain associated with NASCAR Motorsports Outreach, and I enjoyed meeting with him, and I'll never forget, Greg, once again, during my time with you, if you were kind enough to drive me to the place where Morgan Shepherd has his garage, and what a great day that was. I learned so much about racing and ministry from that guy. He really personifies what I would call a real Christian gentleman, isn't he?
He really is a wonderful man. I've been had the privilege to be around Morgan several times, and even with our ministry sites where we are at NASCAR outside the tracks, Morgan is kind enough to come out and to give his testimony. He actually even does some roller skating demonstrations, and so the fans love that kind of stuff too. But he's a very gracious man. He's the real deal for the Lord, and so I just love Morgan.
Yeah, I heard you mention that. Now, folks, you got to remember that this guy is 71 years old. I soon to be 72. He has completed, I think, about 498 consecutive races, is it, or something. He's 11th all-time in NASCAR starts. But this guy is 72. And I guess the thing, Greg, that impressed me, that this guy's got the passion to go out there and run again this year. Hopes to get into a Dodge Charger, in fact. I remember him saying that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, to be honest with you, NASCAR and speed is an addiction. And maybe that's kind of part of what keeps him young, you know. And so it's a great thing that he's still competitive and does what he does. And he actually does it for a higher purpose, too, and that's to use it as a platform to tell other people about the Lord. So that's the best thing about it.
You know, I like to talk about the word conversion because it means turn around and go in the other direction. And, boy, that happened to him. He went into real detail about how the Lord came into his life, went into a lot of detail that I wasn't expecting. But when that old boy got saved, he got saved, and he did a complete 180. And he started going the other direction. I mean, it was one of those stories that really thrill your heart, and I enjoyed hearing it. But that guy, when he got saved, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he sure did. You know what, and that never gets old, even with our minister, with Auto Race and Outreach, when we're at these different NASCAR venues and tracks, and to see somebody come to Christ and to see their lives transformed as well, it just never gets old.
You know, I want the people to go be to understand how God has led in your life. I think it's a very unique ministry you're in, but how the Lord prepared you for it is interesting to me. So go into details about how you happen to be doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to my youth. I grew up about 15 minutes away from the Indianapolis 500 there in Indiana, and I always had racing in my blood. And as a young person, I wanted to become a race car driver. And there's one big thing that you need to become a race car driver, especially Indy cars, and that's money. And my family didn't have any money, and so I realized that goal wasn't going to be obtained that way. And so I went through Christian school, then I went off to Bob Jones University to actually start studying law to become a state trooper for Indiana. But while I was there, God called me to preach. And so finished up there. I went up to Nova Scotia, Canada for 16 years for missionary work. And yet racing was still in my blood. I always wore around a Jeff Gordon jacket because Jeff Gordon's house was about 5 miles from mine in a little town called Pittsboro, Indiana. And so when Jeff got into NASCAR, since he was the hometown hero, I started following NASCAR. I got hooked on that, and the Lord laid upon my heart to actually start Auto Race and Outreach while we were in Canada. And I served as a chaplain for 5 years on a series called the Maritime Pro Stock Series for professional stock car drivers in Canada. And then in 2006, God led us back to America, to North Carolina, to start Auto Race and Outreach down here. And a couple of years ago, we actually started following the NASCAR circuit. And my burden is to take the gospel to the 70 million fans that follow the sport of NASCAR. And what a great mission field that is, and what a great opportunity. So that's kind of in a nutshell how God's led in our lives.
You know, I can associate that because I've always loved sports and did right up till my teens, and then I just didn't grow. And I loved all the stick and ball sports, but just didn't grow, and that forced me. And I, you know, everything that happens in our lives are by God's appointment. I really look back on my life and I see how it all comes together. But I, for me, I caught this racing bug when I was in high school, and I took a job at the Clinton Auto Supply, and it was there that I started selling parts to shade tree mechanics of local race cars at fairgrounds in Macon and Farmer City, and was started to learn about all this racing stuff and got bit by it. And about 10 years ago, when I had a chance to do something with racing, I just really went for it, hook, line, and sinker. And now we're on over 400 stations, and we're here on this Internet. I don't know, last week, I think, Steve said we're on 6,000 people are listening to us. That's a whole lot more people than I'm going to reach if I'll stay back home in my lazy boy, watch ESPN. So it's amazing how God and his timing works in all of our lives to achieve his will in our lives. I think it's a story that is always mystifying, and yet I'm so thankful for God's leadership in both of our lives.
That's a great story and a great testimony. And I can look back and see God directing my path from one step right after the next. And you know, it's been the most exciting thing that the Lord's allowed me to be a part of, and combining my love for the Lord, my love for evangelism, and my love for motorsports. I'll be honest with you, Dwight, I cannot believe that God allows me to do this. And it's just, I look forward to every week going to a NASCAR track, and these are my people. I love these people. And to tell them about the Lord, what a great thing to do.
You know, one of the things that I found really mystifying about your ministry is that there is a race team that gave you a car. And one of the ways that you conduct your ministry when you get to these people are doing all the tailgating in these parks is that you drive a very nice NASCAR around the lot, people come because the thing looks authentic, and you are able to build relationships and start conversations and pass out tracks and get the ministry going because of that race car. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that is the most unique thing probably about the ministry that God's given us with Auto Racing Outreach, is that we actually have an authentic NASCAR. It was built at Everham Motorsports back in 2008. It was driven by Elliott Sadler in 08 and 09, and then by Michael McDowell in 2010. And so it's the real deal. It actually has a NASCAR 850-horsepower motor in it. And so that is our tool that we use to get people to share the gospel with them. They automatically come over to where we are, and NASCAR fans like three things. They like the cars, they like the drivers, and they like free stuff, you know. So, we actually implement that thing, and it's a great tool to make contact.
You know, the thing I love about all these race cars are the wraps that they're putting on it, and I couldn't help but notice the beautiful appearance that car has. I didn't ask you if it was a wrap jobby or not, but I bet it was. I bet that thing is wrapped, isn't it?
It is wrapped. It's just one big, huge sticker on that thing, and we're glad to have on the car right now supportmilitary.org, and it's a foundation, and we're actually not only doing ministry to the race fan, but also we're doing ministry to our military servicemen and servicewomen. And when we are actually at a NASCAR track that's near a fort or a base, we actually take that car on base and able to minister to those whom we appreciate so much who defend our country.
I want you to go through the different racetracks that are famous, and I think you've been to most of them by now, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been to quite a few, yeah.
All right. Let's just talk about some of the ones. Now, maybe we'll hit one that you haven't visited yet, but I would like to have you talk about Talladega. That is a very, that's a very important part, because that's where Dale Earnhardt lost his life. And when you go to racetracks like this that have a history to it, and you being a history buff and a racing buff on top of that, that's got to be a real time of nostalgia for you to go into these racetracks carrying the message of grace and yet in enjoying the sport in one of its legendary tracks.
You know, that is an amazing aspect of it, is that, you know, NASCAR starts out its biggest race of the year at Daytona 500. And so much history there. I remember my dad telling me that he went to that track when it was first built, when they stopped racing on the sand, and my dad was in the crowd, you know, at that very first race. And so now, you know, 50-some years later, we're there doing ministry there. You know, who would have ever thought? But, you know, Dale Earnhardt passed away at the Daytona 500, 2001. And, you know, there's something that amazing that happened because of that, that really Dale Earnhardt's death is what sprung our ministry forward.
Really?
It was. That's kind of what founded us and got us started. When we were in Canada, we used to have a family that lived down the road from us there that were very opposed to our church. And, in fact, their grandkids used to come to our Bible clubs, and they told the grandkids, listen, if you ever go to that church again, don't bother coming to our house anymore. They were that opposed to it until the day that Dale Earnhardt passed away at the Daytona 500 in 2001. And they knew that I was a race fan, and they knew that I was a pastor, and they were both Dale Earnhardt fans, and so they called me and said, we cannot get down to the South to all the memorial services for our favorite driver. Says, you know, he was in our living room for like 25 years because he was our hero in NASCAR. And so they said, would you consider putting together a memorial service here for Dale Earnhardt? So we did that, invited the community, invited people over the radio, had a good crowd come out there, and had a great time with that. And as a result of that, they ended up coming to church 2 weeks after that. And the lady got saved, and that really was the springboard for Auto Racing Outreach, was Dale Earnhardt and Daytona 500.
What a story. What a story. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was worth the price of admission. But let's move on, because, you know, I'm interested about the racetrack in Kansas City. Have you been out there, and just maybe go through the five top racetracks and just talk about them and and the kind of ministry. Does the kind of racetrack affect how you go about your ministry, or you got pretty much a generic approach to all of them and treat every racetrack the same?
Every racetrack is different, and every racetrack has a different character to it. Sometimes the fan base for each track has a different characteristic to it as well. A lot of what we do in ministry depends upon, too, is the box that that local track gives you to work out of. And so sometimes we have to adapt our ministry to whatever the track allows us to do. And what, by the way, we're thankful they allow us to be there, and they've invited us to be there, which is an amazing thing. And so Kansas City, we've been out there twice. And that's a great track, and I've had some very effective ministry out there. In fact, I was just out there this fall, and we also went to Fort Leavenworth with the Military Foundation car while we were out there as well, so that was a great weekend. Some of my favorite tracks to go to, I love to go to Bristol. It's close by here, and it's a beautiful area. I love it in the mountains there, and so Bristol.
Now, that's a short track, right? That's
a short
track.
Yeah, short track, half mile. It's one of the fans' favorite tracks to go to.
Right.
High speeds, a lot of action, and so a lot of bumping and banging and spinning and crashing and just all kinds of things going on there. And so you can see the whole track, you know, from whatever seat you're at there. So very popular. And the neatest thing about that is that Bristol probably has the largest ministry going on around the track. And so they're very welcoming to what we do, and that's a great place. Love to go to Martinsville, another short track, another half mile, lots of action there, a lot of good things going on ministry-wise. I'll have to tell you, my favorite track to go to, though, of all the NASCAR tracks is probably Charlotte Motor Speedway. And we also partner with another ministry called Raceway Ministries. And we go in the campgrounds out there and do ministry. For the first time, we partnered with Motor Racing Outreach and did Vendor Row Ministry, where all the souvenir trailers are, and have thousands of people that come by. And Charlotte's very, very welcoming to ministry there. It's a great place.
You know, the one thing I would like to lay upon people's hearts, I have this racing show that I do every Saturday morning, and I'm still surprised that there are racetracks out there across America that have no chaplain. And
right.
I just might be speaking to men who said, you know, I just love race cars, and it just might be that all you have to do is get on the phone and call the owner of that and say, do you mind if I have a voluntary chapel service for those who might want to come, and I won't be long, I'll only be about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but I'd like to provide that for your drivers. You know, I think there's racetracks out there today that you know about that would probably be a wonderful ministry for a guy who's looking for something that's really going to be challenging and something that would be a real blessing to his heart. And if we're speaking to hearts like that tonight, they need to make that phone call, don't you think?
Absolutely. Find a local track near to you and see if that track has a ministry and if they have a chaplain. And if they don't, get involved. And it's just like having church out there, and those people become a congregation. And you will have more of an impact with those kind of people than probably a local pastor will have. And so
now,
get out there.
Go ahead. Yeah. Now, we're talking with, once again, Greg Burke. He is the chaplain for those that go to NASCAR races, and he does the ministry outside the track. Now, when you go to these tracks, I'm sure at some of the tracks there is a chaplain assigned to that racetrack. Now, for instance, is there a chaplain that's at Charlotte, or does MRO take care of that, or how does that work together?
Yeah, that's kind of a unique thing, is that the NASCAR tracks have sometimes, a lot of times, their own chaplains, and then also they have Motor Racing Outreach that shows up when NASCAR pulls into town. And so NASCAR will have Motor Racing Outreach take care of all the folks on the inside. And Motor Racing Outreach is also great. I work with another chaplain called Elliot Yancey, and he actually is in charge of Motor Racing Outreaches, or MRO's fan outreaches. And so we work together, and it works really well together.
Yeah, we talked to him, and I think you can take a real piece of the fact that he really appreciates what you do in that car. He mentioned that car to me again, and and just really was thankful for your input. You know, I was down at Eldora, Eldora Speedway. I don't know if you've heard of that or not.
Sure.
But that's Tony Stewart owns that.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, Greg, I just happened to be, I think it was on turn two, and USAC was in town. And a very good driver that never got a chance to get into NASCAR or the IRL, the name of Dave Darlan, he went straight up. Greg, I was standing on the inside with photographers, and I remember looking up to see how high he went. I don't know what flipped him that high. But I know when he came down, my heart sunk because I didn't see how there would be any way that he would be able to survive that crash. But
yeah.
I was so thankful that there was a chaplain there that night, and he was the first one out on the track, or one of the first to see how that guy was. And here came this Darlan's wife, and I tell you, being a chaplain is different than being a pastor. It's different than being a missionary. There's just a special setting there that some guys can fit into, and God can use them in a great way. If God has called them to that, it's just an unbelievable ministry. And for what that chaplain experienced at that point in time after that accident, I will never forget it. Just thank God that guy was there.
Yeah, you know, something happened like that, very similar to me when I was in Canada, a chaplain up there. We had a race car driver that's probably the most popular driver that we had in eastern Canada by the name of Scott Fraser. Scott was also had great potential for NASCAR. He drove in the ASA series in 2001 and actually went to Chicago Speedway, his very first race, and gained the outside pole, and he finished eighth, and everybody's going like, wow, who in the world is this guy? But because I was a chaplain up there, he was actually, his family called upon me because he was killed in a snowmobile accident. And since the family did not have any church background, they knew me from the track, and they said, would you be willing to do the funeral? And I was honored to do so, and it was over 1,000 people came to that funeral. I was literally, I got physically sick. I was just, just so much responsibility. But, you meet these kind of people, they don't have any background in that way, and so you get to fill in those responsibilities and those opportunities that God gives you, and it's a great thing.
It really is. I am very close. In fact, I'll be going over to Indianapolis. The chaplain over there is a guy named Hill, and had him on the phone the other day and put him on the air when I think the guy's name was Waylon that lost his life. Was that about a year ago? Is that
Don Whelan.
And, he told me about the particulars of that. And on a racetrack, if a guy gets airborne, I mean, he is just at God's mercy. You know, if you get in the air, you don't know what's going to happen, as you know.
Right.
This guy got airborne, and he happened to get into the fence. The only place on that racetrack where I understand there wasn't a guardrail or some kind of fence. And he hit that thing so hard, of course. I mean, he was coming up from the back, and he was trying to win this $1 million that Randy Menard had put out there to try to spur some interest in the IRL. And he hit that thing just right, and he died of a concussion.
Yeah.
Now, we're seeing this whole concussion thing, to me, is a problem because I see it happening in football, and now I see it in racing. But all the privilege. I mean, Hill told me that he was able to have a service there in Indianapolis, that people came out from all over Indiana that loved Indy racing and had the same kind of opportunity you did to witness for Jesus Christ. My, what an opportunity. And Hill said I was there to do it, and he said I felt so blessed. So that's what comes into my mind when you recall your incident.
Right, yeah, and we all miss Dan Weldon and still think of his family at time. But, bless Brother Hill for his ministry and all these chaplains at the big tracks and also the small tracks, because those are the kind of opportunities that they get on a regular basis. And just to even minister to families that maybe there's not a tragedy that took place, but just they have a special need. The preacher's there, the chaplain's there to pray with folks. And, one of the neat things as a local track chaplain is to pray with these drivers before they start the race. And these drivers know that they're in a dangerous spot. These drivers know that, you know, that they may not come home that night. And anything can happen. And so it's great to be there for these folks.
Well, you know, speed is a wonderful thing. I, of course, cover a lot of sprint cars and on quarter-mile and third-mile tracks and on the back stretch. You know, they have a 900 horsepower and about a 1,400-pound chassis. Those things are nothing but a firecracker on wheels. But, you know, every year, Greg, I have somebody that has a serious injury or somebody that is killed. And it's just a wonderful ministry to be there when God, when parents and when people need you, girlfriends need you, wives need you, mom and dad need you, kids need you, and to have that ministry and to be there at that time, well, I tell you, that interaction, that ministry is special.
You're right.
I just
want to thank you for listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen.
And greetings, everybody. This is Dwight Allen, host of a new and unique three-hour sports program called A Second Look at Sports each Wednesday from 9 till midnight. It will feature a special 30-minute segment with an interview with some of the biggest names in sports, with 60-second mini-interviews introducing the various segments throughout the program. We're desiring to have listener call-ins during the program where you can get involved with Dwight and Steve Inman in a lively and fun discussion as to what God is doing in the world of sports. Simply phone 1-858-863-1309. That's 1-858-863-1309. Or go to InSearch, then click Radio InSearch to get through to us. I'm looking forward to talking sports with you from God's point of view as we connect the scriptures with the sports. So join us this Wednesday from 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time for A Second Look at Sports.
You're back with A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network. We're glad to have you along this evening. If you'd like to call in, the guest number is 858-683-1309. We'd love to have you. Dr. Allen speaking with Chaplain Greg Burkhey. Glad to have you along, Chaplain. And Dr. Dwight Allen, we're back to you.
You know, I want to tell you about another experience I had. This, again, was down at Eldora, Greg, and this is on turn three, and this is pretty sad, but I'm sure you've got a story that's close to it or you've read about it. This one race car, end of the year, where I think his throttle broke, and he just went into the fence at full speed, took his life. And I remember the hush that came over that racetrack, that people, racing, as you said, is a risk. And life is so fragile. But to know Christ and to realize that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord is just a wonderful truth. When you're ministering in these high-risk sports, to be able to share the principles of God's Word is such a rare privilege. And I know you've been around it. You may not, I don't know if you have something that comes to your mind along this line, but boy, I tell you, the guys are killed, and I guess you know that. I think they take that risk under consideration before they ever climb into the cockpit of a race car. But, boy, it's a high-risk sport. And I guess that's what makes chaplaincy so great.
Yeah, it really is. And you brought up something that's interesting, too, about racing and ministering in it, is that when an accident takes place, nobody – whether you're a fan of a certain driver or you don't like a certain driver, no real race fan wants to see any of these drivers get hurt or killed. And when something does happen to a race car driver, it affects not only that race car driver and his family, it also affects everybody in the pits, it affects all the other team members, it affects the fans. And so even the fans need to have a chaplain there. And something, we are also connected with another ministry called Raceway Ministries, I've already mentioned. And Raceway Ministries is a national chaplain organization. And it was actually gained momentum back in 2001 after Dale Earnhardt's death. And these fans were going to the officials and asking, well, where is Earnhardt? What happened to him? And you know what? And these kind of questions. And then 9/11 happened that same year. And again, the race fans were going to, like, these race officials and says, well, is this the end of the world? You know, what's happening? And so as a result of that, these racetracks came to Raceway Ministry and says, can you place a chaplain at all of our racetracks to handle these issues with the fans, because we're not prepared to handle these things, but will you have somebody there? And so it involves everybody when something tragic happens. And so chaplains need to be there for that.
You know, it's interesting when we talked and you go to these different racetracks, and you've mentioned some of the racetracks that you really love going to, especially, you know, I know those short tracks like Bristol are fun tracks to go watch a race, but I just kind of want you to go through, you mentioned to me when we were together this week that you have about maybe seven messages since you're an itinerant minister that you like to present. Perhaps you could just go into two or three of those messages that you feel like in this setting that is appropriate, and how you go about presenting the word in that situation.
There are so many things with racing that relate to life.
Yeah.
One of my favorite illustrations is simply saying that a race always has a beginning. They wave the green flag and you're off, and then a race has a course that's run. But every race has an end as well. When the checkered flag falls, that race is over with. And that is so much like life itself, is that life has a beginning for all of us that we're born, and we run our course, you know, for some it's longer, for some it's shorter, but for all of us, life has an end. And we don't know when that end is going to be for us, but we need to be prepared for that end of the race, because really, it's kind of like a warm-up lap. You know, the warm-up lap is not the actual race, but it's getting you ready for the race. And this life really is like a warm-up lap for us, getting us ready for the real thing of eternity. And so I like to ask folks, are you ready for eternity? Have you made preparations for where you're going to spend eternity? And that's why we need Jesus Christ, because he provided eternal life for us through his death on the cross, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and have eternal life through faith in Christ. And so it's so important that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we're ready for when our time, when the checkered flag falls in our life. And that's one of my favorite illustrations to use, really, with race fans.
That's interesting. Now, what about other sermon topics? You don't have to go into the sermon themselves, but other topics that you find yourself gravitating. When you get done, You've told me you could have 200 or 300 guys, race fans, come out and attend one of these chapels. So it's you get some people involved with this.
Yeah, and there's just all kinds of topics you can use. Another one of my favorite is qualifying. Of course, every race fan knows what it takes to qualify to get into the race. And really, a lot of folks need to realize that in order to get into heaven, you've got to qualify for that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And another thing, too, is that NASCAR has a really thick and rigid rule book that you've got to run a race by or else you're disqualified. And the thing is that God also has a rule book for us, and that's the Bible. And when you get into that, you find out pretty quickly that we're all rule breakers. And that's a problem, because that disqualifies us for heaven. And so we need to have that problem resolved through Christ. And so, there's quite a few different things that you can use and that I love to use. One of my favorite things that I did last year is that some people might remember that in NASCAR you have the race for the championship, the last 10 races. The year before last, Clint Bowyer was in that chase as a chase contender. And at the end of the race, he ran out of gas. Although he won the race and a wrecker came around and pushed him back to victory lane. And after the race, it was actually determined that his car was too high by the width of a quarter. And you know, he suffered some points, I think, because of that were taken away from him in this championship. And people think, man, that's really rigid, you know. That's really close. Well, I tell you what. God's got some standards that are pretty rigid that he's going to judge us by, too. It's not going to be our own standards, but his standards, and that's his word. So we got to make sure that we're ready.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great illustration. We've talked about that tonight, about how sports is a great illustration of experiencing disqualification. I know I did it while running track, but again, when you get around, I'm more accustomed to sprint cars, but a quarter of an inch can affect the downflow of that car and the airflow. That can give you a decided advantage with the wind pressing that race car to the ground and giving it a better bite. And I just think, you know, when you get to racing, as you've already alluded to, there is just so many illustrations that you could use to share the gospel in a fresh way. And I think people are really attracted to it. It's a great spectrum for sharing the grace of God. Just so many of them. When you look at a race car, it's just incredible, isn't it?
Well, I believe the Apostle Paul was alive today, he'd be a NASCAR fan. You know, he talked a lot about running the race, and because there's just so many illustrations you can gain from it, and so NASCAR fans can relate to it, and so it seems to work really well.
Well, I tell you, I know you've had the opportunity to be in. How long have you been in this ministry now?
We started Auto Race and Outreach in 2001, so we're getting ready to start our 12th year.
Wow. And how far west do you go as far as racetracks go?
We go out to Texas, and we've been out to Kansas, and so that's about as far west as we go. When you start going to California, and it's just financially a challenge and also time-wise a challenge to go that far. So that's about as far as we get.
I think it's quite unique, as I spent the day with you. You kind of have a rolling chapel if it happens to be that way, but you might just go about the rig that you run around to these different racetracks. It's you really have to be on your toes. It's like driving a semi-truck. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility toting that thing around, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Nobody actually told me when I was called to preach I was going to have to become a truck driver, but we have a 35-foot motor home that we spend about 35 weeks out of the year in, and then we've got a 28-foot trailer that we haul behind us that's enclosed and haul our show car in it and sometimes use it as a mobile chapel, as you mentioned. So, yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
You know, as you travel around, I know that I've sensed this by doing my own Racing World show, but I sense that more women are getting involved in racing all the time. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's because of Patrick and Fisher and some of these gals that got involved in racing. But as you go out into the pits and where they're doing the tailgating, are you noticing more women at NASCAR events?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I believe that studies have shown that 40% of NASCAR fans are women. And so, as a matter of fact, years ago, back in the 90s, that's why you started seeing sponsors come to NASCAR like Tide, Clorox, and different things like that, because there was such an appeal to women being in the sport.
Well, I tell you, I think Patrick probably has brought those through the turnstiles. But I see some more women that are getting involved in racing, even here on a local level. We have a couple of gals that are pretty talented, but you know, it's just it's tough, I think, for them to really compete because. The race car is, when it gets right down to it, you got to handle that thing. And it takes some upper body strength, even with power steering. And I marvel at the women who get in there and try to compete. And I want them to be successful because I think it would help our sport. But I still think it's a little tough to compete against a man just on the basis of strength. What do you think?
Well, Dale Earnhardt thought that, too. And back in the day, he mentioned the kind of same things that you did, is that a woman is built different, and, you know, driving an Indy car where basically you got to turn it just by flicking your wrist is a whole lot different than trying to have to manhandle a 3,400-pound stock car around for 500 miles or 500 laps. In fact, a lot of people ask me why the steering wheel is so close to your chest in a stock car is because of the G-forces. You can't have your arms extended fully and try to hold on that steering wheel during those G-forces and for that long period of time. So it is very demanding, And, you know, I'm kind of amazed. I've been around some girl drivers that are excellent. I mean, there's a girl that's been driving in the truck series and some nationwide races by the name of Joanna Long. And she is a tremendous driver, and I'd love to see her actually get some more opportunities to do a better job and some better equipment, so because I think she can get the job done. And so, but yeah, it's a difficult thing, but I think some ladies out there are up to the challenge, and in fact, there might be some ladies that are better than men out there right now.
You know, as you visit these racetracks, it would be a nice way to take a barometer of where America is today. Most of them, I mean, a race fan's pretty typical USA. They're pretty much what represents America today. And you've had a chance now to interact with them. How do you read America and where it's going on the basis of your interaction with race fans that meet you at Talladega and Martinsville and Texas and all these places? How would you answer that question?
Oh, man, I tell you, God bless the race fan. You know, typically, your typical race fan is about God and country.
Yeah.
You know, it's still God bless America, and we're still all about America. And, you know, my favorite thing about a race is the pre-race ceremonies. And I was at Bristol Motor Speedway for the spring race this year, and actually I was up in the grandstands watching the race. And the pre-race ceremonies were just tremendous and all about America and whatnot. And these race fans all around me, when it comes to the invocation prayer, a lot of them, after it's said, say amen to it. They may not believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they still believe in God. And then to hear the national anthem and to hear people clap and shout, you know, it's still all about the Lord and still all about America. It's a great thing.
Now, do people at these events, will they come up and ask you some direct questions about God, and do they seem to be as God-conscious now as they were when you started 10 years ago? How would you answer that question? I just fear that there's too many Americans that aren't even God-conscious. The fear of God is gone, and how do you read that?
Yeah, I would say you're right on with that, and we are going the wrong direction with America, and people's hearts and their eyesight and their vision is not where it ought to be, and we're losing that, and I think that even the past election is a barometer about that, and so we're in desperate need, and that's why we're out there with NASCAR, because if NASCAR is going to give us an open door, we want to be there. And matter of fact, the theme of our ministry is called Reclaiming America for Christ. And so, yeah, there's more of a hardness, there's more of an apathy probably than ever before in America, and there's just a great need.
Well, you know, we talked about when I was with you, and we had a good time just really sharing the racing world and our burden for it, but there just seems to be today to be an attitude that is almost aloof from God. They just block that whole thing about God out of their mind. They just don't want to really hear about it, some of them, because, you know, things are mounting up now. I don't think we're ready for Armageddon quite yet. But we're certainly setting the stage, and for Christians now, they need to be quite aware of those opportunities to witness, and for us who have a niche with racing, we need to be busy about our Father's business and get the job done. But it just kind of frightens me a little bit that they not only don't know God, they really don't have a curiosity about Him.
Yeah, we've even seen that amongst children at racetracks, that we'll try to pass out literature to children or invite them to do a Pinewood Derby and to present them to, you know, the gospel and whatnot. And even young people today, there's a real aloofness and a real dullness, and people don't even know the name Jesus Christ anymore except as a cuss word. And it's a really, really sad commentary of where we are today.
Well, I've often gone to ACTS and the Philippic Eunuch and that whole passage there about meeting people where they are and taking them where they need to go. And the wonderful thing about racing, you're meeting people where they are and you're taking them where they need to go. And so in many instances, racing provides an opportunity to get hooked up with people and build a relationship and to exchange pleasantries, but then many times it will lead into conversations that go much deeper than that.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful opportunity, and I just hope that the people out there will once again just consider about what they love to do in life and then give it over to God and make it a ministry and go with it. I've kept you for as long as I think I said I would need you. I'd love to talk to you for 50 minutes or more minutes if you've got the time, but if you got to go, I understand. I know it's 11 o'clock. That's late. So we'd love to have you, but if you feel like you got to go, then I understand. So
I will hang around. I'm not in a hurry.
All right. Okay. Steve, can we take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll finish things up with Greg.
Absolutely, Dwight. You're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen. It's great to have you along tonight. If you want to call in and be part of the program, the number is 858-683-1309. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are listening to M-Search Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at msearch.com. Or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's GLENN at N as in Nancy, SEARCH.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at msearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting M-Search Radio and our efforts, reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back. You're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen. Glad to have you along this evening. If you want to call in and be part of the show, the call-in number is 858-683-1309. Our special guest tonight is Chaplain Greg Berkey. Glad to have him along. His website, if you'd like to visit it, is autoracingoutreach.com. Again, that's autoracingoutreach.com. Appreciate having Chaplain along this evening. And now, your host, Dr. Dwight Allen.
And welcome back, everybody, as we talk with Greg. Greg, you know, one of the things, of course, I'm a pastor for 30 years, so I have a deep love and affection for the local church. And I know that you've got the same desires to get into churches and try to stir up the gift of evangelism. Go into that a little bit.
Yeah, that evangelism really is where my heart is, and that's really what God's gifted me to do. And we want to take the excitement of NASCAR to the local church. And we offer ministries with Auto Racing Outreach to go in to do either vacation Bible school ministries with the young people and seeing great success with that. But also, probably my main thrust is doing special men's meetings. Most people understand and know that it's very difficult to get men who are lost into church to hear the gospel. And men who may not come to a special meeting or something like that, if they're a race fan, they'll come to a special NASCAR night. And what we do is sometimes we do a pit crew challenge, and we do some NASCAR trivia. We talk about NASCAR. We take our show car out there and fire that thing up. And then we also give a brief gospel message with the invitation. And just did one at Pine Bluff Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. And they had a good crowd show up for that and saw 10 people trust Christ in that ministry. And that gives that local church an opportunity to follow up on those folks.
Wow, that's quite a story. And again, I just want to tie this in to something that I think is so important, and that is getting men involved in the churches. We did a survey. I interviewed somebody of the Methodist Church who said, you know, that when a man comes to Christ, he brings his family with him. And if you look in the church and you see that over 60% of the people that are there are men, or maybe it's even lower than that, maybe 40%. But the Methodist said, you know, that's a sign of a growing church when you see how many men are there. And so, you know, sports and racing, this is all stuff that resonates with men. And so I hope that some pastors that are listening and some men who have influence in churches will take this cue and ask you in there and get this thing going, because I think it'll work.
Yeah, we've seen it work multiple times in different meetings. And I remember last year we had a special NASCAR men's meeting in a church in Macon, Georgia, and we didn't see anybody trust Christ that night, but the next morning and Sunday I was preaching, and somebody came to me before I preached and said, you know, I've been after my neighbor for 2 years to come to church, and he would never come, but he came last night, and he heard the gospel. And his neighbor is so excited that he finally got him out to this meeting to hear the gospel that way. So I know it works. And, you know, being a missionary for so many years, you learn that you have to adapt to the culture to reach people for Christ. And the biggest part of our culture is sports, and we need to tap into that.
You know, I did a story on dogs here a couple of weeks ago. And the dog handler made this statement. He said, the reason why dogs survive and are so wonderful as pets is that they can adapt. And sometimes I think churches get into a little toehold that they're not going to adapt to anything. And if we didn't do it that way 20 years ago, we don't need to do it that way today. And, boy, I tell you, you've got to adapt. And to some extent, our message doesn't change, but our methods certainly do. And the way we approach this culture, we need to know where their interest points are so that we can utilize that to, once again, share the good news. I just don't understand sometimes, though, that word adapt that you use is such a big word.
It is. It is hard to change, you know, with some things. And I can understand that there's some things that I'm not willing to change myself. And so I can understand that. But, you know, if it's a situation, if it's a non-compromising situation like sports, I think we need to utilize that. And because it has its own language, its own culture, and people relate to it in so many different levels. And so let's do it, you know. Let's incorporate this and meet these people where they are. And as we go fishing for men.
Amen. Now, I think I would just like to point this out. There may be some people that are listening tonight that are within stone's throw. Your church is in stone's throw of a racetrack. When I say racetrack, I'm talking about everything. I mean, you know, I'm talking about go-karts and mini sprints. I mean, if I had one of those tracks around me, if I was a pastor of church, I would try to find out some way that I can have some kind of influence in that kind of situation. And once you get get established in there, then you can bring in some people like you that I think can draw a real crowd. You put that car out front that I saw, and bang, I think the church has got people inside that church that have probably never been there during the life of the church. And that's, if we're going to revitalize the church, we got to get the unsaved there so that they can hear the gospel and these churches can take on some added life. So many of them today, I'm afraid, are just dead.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I see the same thing because I travel the country, you know, and so we see that. And I tell you, Dwight, it works. It works.
Yeah.
If you get out there where the people are, and you know what? That's what the Great Commission is all about. The first word is go, ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so we've got to go where the people are, and so we can't be afraid of them. And so it's not the responsibility of the unsaved to come to church first. It's our responsibility to go to them first where they are. And so it works because it's God's plan.
Yeah, you know, when I was a pastor, I kept saying that you go through the New Testament, the people are always saved outside the church and then brought into the confines of the local church. But today, we got it just backwards. We have a lot of churches making the church look almost like a mall to try to get the people to come to church so they can be comfortable. But that's not really the sequence that God seems to ordain. We're to go out there before we bring them in. And I think we got this thing backwards today, but some guys are making it work, but as far as the scriptural pattern, there were people saved outside the church. There's where the action was. It wasn't inside the church. That's where they were taught.
Right, right. And so, the church is the teaching arm, you know, and so evangelism goes out, and then the teaching is from within. Right on.
Well, I think that if we can just make that... I've said before, I love this kind of coaching perspective and the context that we're talking tonight, because it allows us to exhort and encourage and challenge, because that's such a common thing in sports, in motor racing. I mean, yeah, I've been around races, and I've heard those crew chiefs get going on how we're going to do things, and I've heard some challenges come from the drivers that they want to be on top of their game. But so the challenge in sports is synonymous with sports, and sometimes I think the church today has lost the whole concept of challenging the people to go out and do things they've never done before. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, God gives us all opportunities, and he gives us talents, and he gives us abilities and interest. And so I remember when, in the Bible, when God was calling Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses gave all kinds of excuses. Well, I can't talk, I can't speak, you know, and all this. And God asked Moses a question. He says, Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a rod. He says, with that rod that's in your hand, I want you to go, and by that you will know that you speak for me. Well, God puts in all of our hands, in all of our lives, something that we can use for him. And so whatever that interest may be, if it's sports or computers, whatever it may be, take it and use it for God.
Amen. You know, I've used that same illustration. We've never talked before, but I think a lot of guys that are called into some kind of sports ministry will eventually end up there with that rod illustration because it's powerful. What's ever in your hand, commit it to the Lord and let him take it and use it. And so it's interesting that you brought that illustration up because I was going through my notes today when I started this thing 10 years ago. That's one of the messages I preached. So it's interesting how God works, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad we're on the same page there and the Lord's leading. That's good.
Steve, do we need to take another break? And then I want to have one more session here with our guest. Do we need to take a break here? It's 15 after.
Just need a quick break, Dwight. You're on with Dr. Dwight Allen, Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network. We're glad to have you along this evening. Our guest is Chaplain Greg Berkey. If you'd like to talk with Greg, the number is 858-683-1309, and we'll be right back.
And greetings, everybody. This is Dwight Allen, host of a new and unique three-hour sports program called A Second Look at Sports each Wednesday from 9 till midnight. It will feature a special 30-minute segment with an interview with some of the biggest names in sports, with 60-second mini-interviews introducing the various segments throughout the program. We're desiring to have listener call-ins during the program where you can get involved with Dwight and Steve Inman in a lively and fun discussion as to what God is doing in the world of sports. Simply phone 1-858-863-1309. That's 1-858-863-1309. Or go to InSearch, then click Radio InSearch to get through to us. I'm looking forward to talking sports with you from God's point of view as we connect the scriptures with the sports. So join us this Wednesday from 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time for the Second Look at Sports.
You're back on A Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen. Glad to have you along tonight. Our guest has been Chaplain Greg Berkey of Auto Racing Outreach. If you'd like to learn more about Chaplain's ministry, check him out at autoracingoutreach.com. Again, that's autoracingoutreach.com. We know he'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to call in and be part of the show this evening, the number is 858-683-1309. And now, your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
All right, we'll get back here with Greg. You know, Greg, I think one of the things that you're going to do is really a leading of the Lord. You really want to become an owner in the truck series. Would you go through that? I think this is just unbelievable how the Lord is challenging you right now and leading you. Go into that, would you please?
Yeah, the Lord has kind of put on our hearts after doing Auto Racing Outreach for 10 years now, and the Lord continues to open doors, and the ministry continues to grow. I think the next step for us that we believe that we need to take is actually get in on the track. And the Lord has allowed me in the last couple of years to be connected with a NASCAR nationwide team called McDonald Motorsports, a Christian owner and a Christian team and whatnot. But the Lord's laid upon our hearts to kind of step out on our own and try to get into, at least by 2014, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And that would make me a team owner. And it just gives you a lot more validity with the fans and the people out there. And also, we want to use this as a Christian team and a Christian crew and a Christian driver. And we want to use this as a platform to tell people about the Lord. And, you know, I don't know about you, but do you miss the days that you used to hear certain drivers when they were doing the interviews that they thank the Lord or they thank God for something? And we'd love to get back to that with our team and make that our emphasis, ministry-minded, ministry-focused, and it would work right alongside with Auto Racing Outreach with what we're doing there. But it's a big step for us. This is huge. And a lot of people are looking at me and saying, you know what, well, there ain't no way you're going to pull this thing off. Well, I've seen God work, and if God's in it, you can't stop it. And so we've got a lot of hoops to jump through, a lot of hurdles to cross, and a lot of planning. But we're in the first stages of talks, and we need some good Christian sponsors to come on board with this that will get behind the truck series and have the goal that, hey, this is all about the Lord. You know, the going in circles will go away one day, but we want to do something eternal with a truck team.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, of course, we were just with Morgan Shepherd. And what's he got on his race car, Souls for Jesus? Is that what it is? He's got something up there. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, it's Souls for Jesus on the back bumper and Racing for Jesus on the hood.
I really enjoy that because, You know, I think as we look at these days, we're going to have some pretty fierce winds of people who don't want anything to hear about God, and they certainly don't want to see it when they tune in NASCAR, and there they see it again, and God is reminding them that they're accountable to God. And sometimes I know the seriousness of it, but I think of the grace of God sometimes that really just causes me to laugh a little bit. Folks, you can't outrun God. Jonah tried that trick one time, and he ended up in Nineveh, and that didn't end up well. So you can run away from God for a long time, but eventually God's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, you're right. You can't run if God's knocking on your door and answer it. You know, the Lord's after you, and it'll be the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. It really is.
You know, I think of some great Christian businessmen, though. Of course, Joe Gibbs has done a nice job with Interstate, and that's a good Christian company. And certainly there's others that are out there, and, you know, if they could get involved in a ministry like this and have that exposure, I can see where it would really help a certain kind of business. And I really appreciate you challenging this and asking God to lead you. And who knows who's listening tonight? That might strike a note in their heart. And so, you know, all you do is keep planting seed, and then one day it comes to fruition, and then everybody rejoices. I really encouraged with what you're taking on, and certainly want to stay with you as to how God's going to lead here.
Well, we appreciate that, Dwight. We really do appreciate the exposure. And the unique thing about this race team is that not only we're on the track, taking a stand for on the track, but also when the race is going, we're doing ministry outside the track and around the track. And so it'll be very unique in that way if the Lord continues to put this thing all together for us. And I was just talking to a Christian driver yesterday. He's interested in coming on board. And so this kid is a hot driver, and he'll be a rookie. And the kid could be a preacher, too. He's just an amazing young man. So we'll see what the Lord has for us.
You know, we have talked in the past, you and I, about Ricky Stenhouse and Al Geyer and Trevor Bayne. These three guys, known as the Amigos, show just what these young drivers, they seem to have a dimension here that the older drivers never had. And I think young people are sensing the need for God as they see the world just kind of stumble around and look for leadership. Young people are looking for something now that's going to answer their soul and the questions they have. And, of course, that can only be answered by God. And so, we are right there in racing. You have three guys. I don't know if you've been around them, but they're young drivers, and you say you've discovered another one. I just wonder how many more God has prepared.
There are some great young drivers coming up through the ranks that I think are going to surprise the world when they come on the national scene. Some of these drivers that are already out there, there's been a real revival in the NASCAR Nationwide Garage. You've already mentioned these three guys. There are other guys like driver Michael McDowell, driver Blake Koch, David Starr, some of these younger guys and that really are just on fire for God. That, matter of fact, they have Bible studies together. They hold each other accountable for having their devotions, and they come out and do ministry and give their testimonies and different things, and they're bold for the Lord. They're really bold. And there's some other younger guys coming up, too, the same way. And so I'm excited. It's an exciting time to be a part of NASCAR right now.
It really is. Now, I covered an event in Columbus with the K&B Racing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, or K&N.
Okay, yeah, now there were some. I went to a chapel, and I was surprised that chaplain down there has got a bunch of guys that are professing Christians. And you know, if you're looking for someone to drive your truck, and I gotta believe that God's got somebody prepared for you, because I know they're down there. Because when I went to that K&B thing, I couldn't get over how many Christians were in their chapel.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I'm telling you, Dwight, God's doing a work here. He really is in these racing circles, and God's preparing people. And I think the Lord has some good plans ahead through it all. I really do.
Well, you know, it's just, I think that Steve mentioned this at the beginning of our program tonight. It takes faith to step out. That's where the faith comes. So stepping out, first of all, then trusting God. A lot of guys just don't have that faith to step out, which you're, you know, exhibiting right now. And I'm just thrilled, Bart, because I think if you're willing to step out, that God will honor that and give you the dream here that you have and the vision, because there's such a need in the world today. And I just hope that God will put things together for you here, and that we can talk to you in a few months, and you'll be rejoicing over this kid that you're talking to me about, and we can help promote that and use that and rejoice with you and encourage you and be a part of your future as far as getting the news out.
Well, we appreciate that, Dwight, and appreciate your listeners listening to us tonight. And, pray for us. I encourage the folks to, again, go to the website and learn more about us. I tell folks that if you're a Christian and you're watching a NASCAR race, there's a good chance that we're out there somewhere doing something for the Lord. And so pray for us during that time, and we trust that God will bless that and use that.
Steve, I know you don't. You're going to go to some races with me if you hang around me much longer. But I know this whole idea of racing is kind of a new sport for you. I don't know how closely you've followed it, but you've heard this conversation now for well over an hour. And as someone who's just listening to it for the first time, has any questions come to your mind that you'd like to ask Greg, and just kind of follow through maybe on some of your own curiosity that's been stirred up through this interview?
Well, the one thing that kept popping into my mind is Dwight's right. I don't follow racing. I wasn't brought up with it. I do flip it on from time to time, but I'm a sports with a ball kind of guy. But I've noticed that walking by the TV Sunday or a week or so ago, I caught the beginning of a race. And I paused because here's 50, 60, 70,000 people, all quiet. And I thought, well, it's national anthem. That's what they do. And then I heard the guy praying in the background. And I actually stood there just stunned that in the world that we live in, you could still get that many people to just be quiet and listen to someone pray. And the idea that that was still possible gives you a little hope, I guess, that if those people are willing to listen to it in that environment, I'm just thrilled to hear somebody's out there doing something. And I'll be honest to Greg, just listening to you talk and your passion for them, has been really encouraging this evening, and loved hearing about the road that God has taken you on to get you from missions work to here to this. I mean, this is a mission field. This where God has put you is a new mission field. And I guess, Dwight, what I want to do is just encourage people out there tonight. There's a lot of NASCAR fans, and here's an opportunity to take what you love and either you get actively involved or, you know, maybe you don't have, in your eyes, the time to do that, but you can go to autoracingoutreach.com and you can be an encouragement by plugging in and saying, hey, I can help defer this expense, or I can encourage you that way. And I just really would encourage our listeners, there's an opportunity right there, and just encourage Greg that, man, great to hear from you tonight, encouraged by what you're doing. I hope the Lord blesses you.
Well, we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you tonight.
Hello, Greg, here's the question, and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
When do we have to take our break, Steve? What are we doing with the clock now?
You've got about 5 minutes, Dwight.
All right. Here's what I want to ask you. Now, I know that now Steve has brought up something that I think is significant. When you're, but that's usually, I'm thinking maybe you're someplace in the South where there's still a lot of God respect and God consciousness down in the South. But when you get out to Kansas and you get out to up in New York, and you had that prayer. Does that prayer? I know that NASCAR still does that. And you see a hush go over the crowd in the South. Is that same hush going over the crowd when you get to other places outside the South?
Yeah, from what I've seen, whatever track we go to, it's Kansas or going to Loudon, New Hampshire, or whatever else may be, I still see the same respect. And matter of fact, a lot of times the person who is actually doing the emceeing. And he introduces the person who's going to be praying. He'll actually ask the people to take off their hats in respect. And I find that in most cases, that's exactly what people will do. They respect it and thankful for it. And by the way, I'm thankful that NASCAR allows that. I'm thankful that NASCAR prays before a race. And I know that they face pressure at different times to stop that, but God bless them. For keeping that up.
What about France and all these guys? I know Billy would have an idea. We weren't able to reach Billy tonight, but what kind of relationship do you have with France and all that family that runs the NASCAR? Are they spiritually minded people, or why is it that you have that much freedom in NASCAR? It has to start from the top.
Yeah, it does start from the top. To be honest with you, I really don't have a personal relationship with the Frances or different ones. I know a couple track owners, and they're wonderful people, and I know, like, the track president of Charlotte Motor Speedway is a wonderful Christian guy, and I try to update him what we're doing at the races and what God is doing, and he's always excited to hear what the Lord's doing at the racetrack. And so I'm not exactly sure. Billy Mauldin would certainly know more about some of the higher-ups in the sport, but whether they have a personal relationship with the Lord or not, you know, they're still allowing others to hear about him, and that's a great thing.
You know, as we leave you, this has been a really a powerful conversation, and I hope it's been a stimulative to people who are listening, that they'll really start examining some things about what they could do to contribute to the cause of Christ. But has there been a scripture verse that you have found yourself calling, you know, kind of your own as you get, especially getting into this truck deal? Has there been any verses of scripture that God kind of lays on your heart, or a truth or a principle, or even sometimes a poem or a song? I've heard people, talk about the leadership of the Holy Spirit with all these different modes, but talk about just maybe how the Lord's leading right now as far as what scripture is speaking to your heart.
It's interesting that you bring that up. I've been praying that if the Lord allows us to open up the door for the NASCAR truck team, of what to call it. And several names have gone through my mind. I didn't want to call it after myself, my own name. And our pastor last Sunday had mentioned and gone through a passage of scripture, Psalm 26, which is about integrity and what integrity is. And it mentions the word integrity in that psalm a couple different times. And I thought, you know what, that would be a good name for this team, would be Integrity Racing. And because we want to be all about the Lord and putting him first and taking a stand and having a testimony out there in the public eye, saying, you know what, this is makes a difference in our lives. And we'd like to share that with other people, that God has made a difference in us and through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we want to share that.
Well, friend, Steve, we got to kind of wrap things up, don't we? I can hear you kind of getting excited. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We need to get to break, Dwight.
All right. Listen, I tell you what, Greg, I really appreciate the call, and I hope that you'll find the time that when you get ready to announce that driver, that you would let us be a part of that announcement. I think it would be great that we're so privileged to have you with us tonight, and boy, we're going to keep up with you and pray for you and cover your backside on this thing.
Hey, we appreciate that so much, guys. We need all the help we can and all the support we can get.
All right. Greg Berkey, once again, the chaplain that ministers to people outside the racetrack. And nice to have you aboard, Greg.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Dwight.
Okay.
You're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live with your host, Dr. Dwight Allen. We've had guest Chaplain Greg Berkey along this evening. If you'd like to learn more about his ministry, you can find it at autoracingoutreach.com. I want to congratulate Chaplain Berkey for their work recently in New York City with the Hurricane Sandy relief. They distributed over $4,000 worth of cleaning supplies, food, water, blankets, and clothing to those in need. I want to congratulate them for their heart of compassion, not just for those in NASCAR, but for those in need of our help and for the work that he's doing to share Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be part of the program when we come back this evening, the number is 858-683-1309. We'll be right back on A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com, or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say
you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month. Please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@nsearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through nsearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at nsearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting nsearch radio in our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A family altar is when family members daily gather around the Bible and then praise for the daily challenges each member will be facing that day. When this discipline is practiced, the problems of the home are greatly diminished. I just read a book by the name of You Can Do It by ex-NFL Super Bowl coach Tony Dungy. It addresses discovering God's will for one's life, a constant challenge for everybody. It features Tony's younger brother, Lyndon, and how he discovered that by trusting God and thinking big, that he wanted to be a dentist. So, if you are having or want to start this daily tete-a-tete with your family, then buying this book would be a real tool in relating to your kids about this vital challenge in life. It's just one of the joys of having a family altar.
You're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InSearch Radio Network, and now your host, Dr. Dwight Allen.
You know, I'd just like to say just a word about that, because when I was a kid, we called it that. I don't know what you call it today, but I do think that we need to get the family, once again, practicing that concept of opening up the scriptures and then praying for your kids and your kids praying for you, and kids going off to school and got tests and basketball games and being able to, you know, have a time where you really tie into that. Now, it doesn't need to be long, 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't need to take a long practice. Probably can't be too long because kids will not respond to it, but as you go through the family cycle, and these kids grow up. A lot of them will say, you know, it was that family altar when we gathered around that for about 10 minutes before we went off to school, and we had that time. I really believe in the family altar. I don't think you can call it that today. You've got to come up with another name. But I think that's important, and I think in so many homes, it's absent. The practical application of God's Word on a daily basis. And I know I tried to do it with our kids, and I know my dad did it with us, and I think it's a vital component. And so that's why I do that, those 60s on that. A lot of people in the world start doing a family altar. What in the world is that? You got something out in the backyard where you're going to sacrifice a goat or a sheep or whatever. I think that's what goes through their mind. So, but I just think it's a time where it's important, and you can do a lot of good in the heart and soul of your kid when you will take the time to do this. And I know it's sometimes for us we did it in the morning. I don't care when it's done. I just think it's a vital component of the family. Today we're seeing the family just fall apart. And now we've got so many things competing against it, our busy schedules, and of course now we've got homosexuality that doesn't even believe in a home that the Bible talks about. So there's just a lot of competition. But that's why I wanted to touch base about that 60-second look at sports and talk about the family altar. Again, I don't know what you're going to call it. But I do know that a lot of good can be done over that. Now, Steve, do we need to take another break here, and then we'll finish it, or how does your time go?
I think we're great, Dre. We've got about in these last 10 minutes, and I guess about this time every week I start thinking about all that Second Look at Sports has done and the people that it has reached, and ministries like auto racing, outreach there, and things like that. And I'm gonna bring you back to it every week, Dwight. I'm just going to keep asking. Each week you start out again.
Well, I tell you, it's again. That's one of the things that I'm really deeply involved with. You can go to WFIN.com, and I have the show there. And Tony Stewart's Racetrack Eldora is one of my sponsors. Fremont Speedway, Attica Speedway, just look on Lima Land, which is the home of the University of Northern Ohio, which Jeff Jarvis is the president, puts out a lot of kids that go into all kinds of race teams across the country. So we're pretty solid when it comes to racing. We have a lot of fun with it, and we'll certainly talk about it. But for someone that didn't know anything about racing, Steven, you heard that interview tonight with Greg, and by the way you talked, that really aroused your curiosity.
Really did. Just seeing the ability of someone like Greg to take something he's passionate about, and coming from a background where I'm sure in the time that he went to college and the things he was doing, that wasn't something that was put forward to him or challenged him. And it's evident to me that even in a day and age when we look around, and it does seem like in a lot of ways we're living in a post-Christian society, I am reminded that the fields are still white. There's a lot of harvest out there and a lot of opportunities for it. And I think it just comes back, Dwight, to like you've said so many times, we just need to be out there. We just need to be sharing John 3:16 and the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ.
I had, I've talked about this interview I had with a kid that is a catcher now for Columbus, and had a cup of coffee this summer with the Cleveland Indians. And I mentioned to him, I said, boy, it must be so frustrating for you to bounce between the major leagues and AAA baseball. And this kid seared my soul when he said, but Dwight, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. You know, I think that's going to be a major challenge for us. We see a country that is turning its back on God. Everything that we believe in, they no longer find necessary to be part of the dialogue. And it's a little frightening. And sometimes you can think about that. I mean, why is the world going the way it's going? I mean, there's no attentiveness to spiritual things, no curiosity about God. I mean, we've just lost our God consciousness whatsoever. Where are we going? Now, you know, that's kind of frightening maybe for a lot of us who are Christians. And yet I've been praying and saying, oh, Lord, you know, if you could ask me to be something for you on the radio, speaking in churches or whatever, give me that spirit of contentment, because right now I'm fighting it. I'm not content with seeing our country go in the direction that it's going. This will eventually end up in communism. And at least that's where your mind goes sometimes. And we need to pray for one another that we'll be what we should be. We won't be intimidated by what's going on in the country today. That we won't lose our witness, that we won't lose our vision, we won't lose our passion. We'll, as they say in sports, hang in there. And that we'll be able to say who we are as Christians and what we believe, and not again being ashamed of who we are. I think that is the number one attack that Satan and the world tries to put on us, is, oh, come on, this is bigger. You don't want to mess with that attitude when the world is so adamant against anything that would be called Christianity. I think we need to say, Lord, first of all, I need to be content in the state that this country's in right now. We're not sovereign God. We can't change it. Nothing we can do to change it. But we can be faithful. And part of that being faithful is the ability to be content and say, Lord, this is the situation you put me in. Help me not to chafe at it. Help me not to get upset with it. Help me to accept it. But help me to be effective for you in this context. I don't like it. Okay, because we in America have never been tested for our Christianity. I mean, China has, and certainly Africa has, and the Middle East has, but we here in the United States, we don't know anything about this. But the Bible says the godly in Christ Jesus shall, I mean, this is an indicative mood. I mean, it's a matter of fact, shall suffer persecution. Okay, all right. So here it comes, and I think it's going to come. I don't care if Republicans are nominated, elected, or Democrats, or Independents, or, you know, Tea Party, or whoever. The events that we read in Scripture are coming to a climax. Revelation 1:1, I keep looking at that tense and that verb there, when it says that when the last time events start to happen, it will move over and move on with the rapidity of the pushing dominoes over and watching them fall quickly one by one. That's what we're seeing in the news today. I mean, now the Israel is criticizing the United States because they are setting up some of the animosity towards Israel for building houses in some of the sections there that the Israelites claim, and yet that's part of what, that there was going to be some kind of settlement. That's where Palestinians want to set up their country. I tell you, folks, we're living in a time when we need to know who we are in Christ and be secure in who we are, and not to faint, and not to fall out of the race, and not to be disqualified because of fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And I hope that we claim that, because this is the time to get it on for God. This isn't the time to back off. And so those are some of the things that are on my heart here, Steve, and want to welcome once again Greg for being aboard, and he was great, and even some of the great topics that we've been able to talk about with Tebow, and of course, Richie, Christian coach, and then what Bob Costas had to say. So it's been a program, I hope, that has been very informative and yet challenging to those who have listened to us tonight. I hope we've made a difference in the way you're thinking and in your Christian life, and that you'll be back with us next week. As I guess that's kind of bringing it to a close for another week, Steve.
I think it's been a reminder, Dwight, that the challenge is great, but the opportunities are too. That there are other people out there in the same society, in the same struggles, that have found a way to minister and have found a way to be effective and have found a way to use even the dark tragedies. I remember Greg mentioning Dale Earnhardt's death and how that turned into a memorial service.
Great story.
Wasn't that amazing? That turned into a soul being in heaven that wouldn't have otherwise have been there. And, I think while definitely tonight's show has focused on some of the struggles and the difficulties, also a great reminder that other people are finding a way in this same exact environment to minister and to be effective and to encourage and to see souls saved. So if they can do it, we all can. We all can take the rod or the talent or the ability or whatever it is that we have, and we can take that out into the world and share with the world the message of Jesus Christ. And I just want to remind folks, you're listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live here on the InChurch Radio Network. Dr. Dwight Allen, Sports Chaplain of the Year, is your host. If you'd like to learn more about his ministry, you can at asecondlookatsports.org. You can also find him on Facebook at Second Look at Sports. Before we sign off this evening, I'll give Dr. Allen the final word.
Well, again, I think that sports provides the opportunity for a lot to look up in the stands and see that John 3:16 sign. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to A Second Look at Sports Talk Live on the InChurch Radio Network. It was great to have you along this evening. Hope you enjoyed our time with Greg Berkey, chaplain for AutoOutreach.com. You can go visit him. Hope you'll tune back in next week. Dr. Allen, your sports chaplain there, will be here. In the meantime, have a great week and find your way to serve your Savior.